she has been covering the Elias Abu-el-Azam. I hope I'm getting that. Am I getting better at that, Lori?
Well, they just put out a new pronouncer, so even I can do it now. I think they're saying it's Elias Abu-el-Azam.
Abu-el-Azam. All right, I like that. By the time the story's over, I'll have the name down. But this is seriously, this is the story about the Flint slasher, if you will, who's also committed similar crimes in other states. Lori, before you get us caught up with the latest, just in a nutshell, explain to our listeners who this guy is and what he's done.
Sure. He's just a suspect at this point, but Genesee County Prosecutor David Layton yesterday said that we did get the guy responsible for these crimes, and they believe that he is responsible for 18 attacks. The majority of them involved knives. I think one just involved a hammer, spanning three states from May to the first or second week in August. Michigan, of course, mainly the Flint area, Virginia then, Leesburg, Virginia, and then Toledo, Ohio. Most of the men were black, all but two in our area were black, and then I believe one in the Virginia area was Hispanic. And the attacks basically, men that were walking alone late at night, possibly vulnerable, and, you know, the authorities believe that he would approach them in a vehicle and act like he needed help with directions or his SUV or whatnot, and then just start stabbing them multiple times, leaving them for dead. And then in our area, five men did die. Five men in the Flint area from May to August did die because of these attacks, and they believe that this is the guy behind the knife.
And now he is back in Flint, and so talk about the transportation back here, and he was also arraigned yesterday.
That's right. He was arrested in Atlanta at the airport about to board a flight to Tel Aviv August 11th, and since then he's been held in Atlanta in a jail. He did waive his extradition, but it took about 2 weeks to get him here, and that happened yesterday. You know, we were told, you know, sometime between 7 and 7:30 yesterday morning that he was, in fact, on his way. The state, I believe, sent a plane down there, not a police plane, but a state transportation plane, Department of Transportation plane, I believe, down there. He had some Michigan State police people on the plane, I believe a few guys from the FBI, and they basically, you know, did a handoff from the Atlanta authorities to our authorities, and then they flew back. They flew into the Flint airport, Bishop Airport. I think they touched down about 12:15, and then they got into a Flint police van with, you know, a motorcade in front and behind, and very quickly made their way to the Genesee County Jail, where we were actually waiting. The sheriff allowed one camera to be there to capture what was going on with him inside the jail, and it was not our camera, but he did allow us to stand inside there. So we were there in the garage when he pulled in, and I mean, just, you know, I would say probably 20 law enforcement officials waiting. I mean, it was well choreographed and organized, and he got out, and he is a pretty big guy. He was wearing a white shirt, some shorts, some, you know, those jail-issue Crocs, and of course, a vest and shackles and handcuffs. And someone asked him, "Why'd you do it?" And he said, "I didn't do anything." And then he walked in, and he was sort of smiling and smirking the whole time, appeared to be pleasantly chatting with the guards. And, you know, the sheriff said he had a sort of animated conversation with him. His stats, by the way, this guy's 6'5", he weighs 280. His shoe size, which I didn't know existed, 18EEE. So the sheriff, after hearing that, said, "Wow, you're a big boy." And he just said, "Yeah. Thank you, sir." And he said he was hungry. He hadn't eaten since 2 a.m., so I got him something to eat. And he was a little concerned, I guess, about the cameras there and all the attention he's been getting. And the sheriff basically told him he used to have this what could happen. So that was done and over by 1. And then at 3 o'clock, he was arraigned by video. That was for security purposes, the sheriff said. So he was kept in the jail. His attorneys the prosecutor, everyone else was at district court watching it on a flat screen TV, and that really lasted like 5 or 6 minutes. You could barely hear what he was saying. I don't know if it was the system. It was pretty inaudible, but, you know, that wasn't too exciting. And he did appear to understand what the judge was asking him, just, you know, you understand the charge, and there could be more in the way, and you know, the very basics, I guess. And then the issue of bond came up, and his attorneys said they were going to leave bond up to the discretion of the court. And then the prosecutor asked for a $10 million bond because of the seriousness of all of this, and the judge actually ordered no bond. So that's where it stands. I mean, he's being held on that one charge, and then the prosecutor, you know, vowed that more charges are on their way.
So he's being held on the one charge of murder?
Assault with intent to murder.
Okay.
For a July 27th attack in Flint. That's what they had. That's what they were able to hold him on. And now they're basically building their cases. And, you know, Layton yesterday was very adamant that he will be charged with homicide, and he will face other charges in the not too distant future. But, you know, they've got physical evidence. They have police reports that need to come in yet. I mean, this is all moved fairly quickly, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And they're waiting on stuff from the crime lab for evidence to be processed there, and you know there's a huge backup there. So they're trying to get that stuff going and get the rest of this case going as well.
We're talking with Lori Dugavito, the fine reporter and anchor for ABC 12 News WJRT in Flint. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and worldwide on the internet at 1320WILS.com. Lori, the Night Ripper, as he was dubbed in Flint, is now back in the state. What's the vibe in Flint? And looking on the internet, I saw some video and some photos of people holding their shirts up and showing their scars. It would appear that a lot of people are glad that he's back here and ready to stand justice.
Sure. Even at his arraignment, some of the victims showed up in court. They were, I saw two. There might have been more than that, but at least two. And of course, they all have very similar scars. You know, they had surgery and they were stabbed. But they were hoping to see him face to face, obviously, and to just get a sense of who he was. And you know, this is the guy allegedly that they were in contact with when they were attacked. But now they were hoping to see him in court and to just really get a read on him. But that did not happen yesterday. As we said, he was in the jail, arraigned by video. But, you know, when he was arrested, that was kind of the big day, I think. Everyone was like, phew, it's over. We can go on about our business and get back to normal. Now I think everyone's starting to really just move forward with it, I guess. And I mean, that's the sense that I get anyway, is that the arrest was like the really big day. Of course, there's a lot of hype yesterday and a lot of stuff going on yesterday, and now they can really get moving. As one of his attorneys said, you know, now is when his real work begins, when they can start doing this and figuring out how they're going to defend him and look at the prosecutor's office to see what kind of charges are going to come out next.
Well, that was my next question, my final question for you. What's going to be next, and how are you going to be attacking this case? Because I know you probably have some other ideas on some other information that you can gather.
Sure. Well, the big news that we're going to be waiting for is that first homicide charge. And the prosecutor sort of hinted that, you know, he did say there will be charges in the not-so-distant future. There's at least one of the five homicides that I believe they feel fairly strongly about. And I think it's just a matter of gathering what they need and getting what they need and being able to charge on that. He is scheduled for a pretrial hearing, just, you know, a basic information gathering hearing next week. It'll be interesting to see if that actually goes through. And really that's just, you know, a situation where everyone is kind of there and they say, this is what we have, or this is, you know, maybe his attorneys will say, we still need all the police reports and we still need this and this and we can't progress until we get it. So, you know, it's not uncommon for that stuff to be adjourned and delayed a little bit. So I didn't hear this from his attorneys myself, but I did read somewhere yesterday that his attorney, Brian Morley, a guy from your area, said that this process could just take a lot of time, possibly, you know, a year, just to really get moving. And in Flint, that's not uncommon. They have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of cases in the courts. This one's high, obviously a high priority, so we'll see what happens. But the next big thing for us is waiting on this this next charge.
All right, Lori, thank you so much. Lori DeGavito, the fine reporter and anchor from ABC News 12, WJRT out of Flint. Lori, thanks so much, and we'll be talking with you up the road here.
Thanks, Tony.